is a part of my role is to be in these situations with churches where I hear you have a new pastor. So I'm here this morning, amen, to be part of this. As you know, part of my role is helping a church go through the search process. So I've been meeting with your board, and it's been quite a journey. Throw in some twists and turns and a pandemic here and there, and here we are. We finally got to this place. And I know the vote was a few Sundays ago, and we usually try to get this special, what we call an installation covenant time, a little sooner, but I was already scheduled, and so we were able to get it just a few weeks later here today. So it's a privilege for me to be a part of this day today with you. I want to say a few words, though, before we really get into the installation covenant time, mainly just to remind us or give you an understanding of this idea of installing a pastor, which is different than installing a refrigerator, okay? And I just want us to process this a little moment, right? I just bought a new refrigerator, and you plug it in, and you slide it in its place, and it better do its job, right? And at halftime, when I go to get a soda and some salsa, that thing better be working. And if it's not, it's out of here, right? That's what we do with appliances, but even though we use the same language, installing a pastor is a lot different. What you'll find as we go through the covenant ceremony this morning is you'll find language more like a wedding ceremony. Because in the church, we consider ourselves a family of sorts, right? And so bringing a new pastor in is like bringing in a new member of the family. Bringing a pastor and his family in is like embracing a new family into our family. And as you know, when family doesn't do what you think they should do or say what you think they should say, you can't just kick them out, right? I've got a few family members. No, I won't go there. So part of what we're doing this morning, it's really, I want to invite you into the scripture this morning before we get into our covenant ceremony. In Ephesians chapter 4, there's really a great core scripture of what we're celebrating this morning. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to read through verses 1 to 7, and then we're going to jump down 11 to 13. And Paul is speaking to the church in the town of Ephesus about their partnership with pastors and leaders and such, and the role of the church, really, but hinting at this partnership that they have with their leaders. So what Paul is giving us is really a core for us as we understand what this partnership between pastor and church, a family, really coming together is all about. So if you have your scripture with you, open to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 to 7 and then 11 to 13. As Paul writes, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." We jump down to verse 11. "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." Let's pause the prayer. Lord, we're reminded that Hebrews tells us that your word is alive and active. And like a double-edged sword, it can pierce very deep into our beings, to the very marrow of our bones, in order to shape and mold our thoughts and actions for you and your kingdom. And so, Lord, we open our hearts and lives to you now, maybe even to do that type of surgery in us. Have your way, Holy Spirit, as you move among us. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, I really just want to draw our attention to this one section where it talks about Christ himself giving the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers in order to, as it said in verse 12, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. This is that language of partnership between a pastor and a church. You see, we know that pastors are not required to do works of service, because this idea of works of service is really a lot of what Paul was talking about right up at the beginning. Live a life worthy of the calling. Be humble and gentle and patient. Make every effort towards unity in the Spirit. This is the stuff that is the work of the service of the kingdom here. And the pastors and teachers and apostles, prophets and evangelists even are not out of that mix. But there is something unique about that role, that they are to be a part of a church family like this, to lead and inspire the equipping of all of us towards this work. But did you notice the emphasis of why? This stuff about the church being built, the body of Christ being built up, not in numbers, but in strength, to reach unity in the faith, not unity in we all going to dress the same and cut our hair the same, but in that in the midst of our diversity, there is unity in our faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and to become mature. Some of you know I have children, 15, 13, 11, 9 are the ages of my children. And that alone might put me on your prayer list. The 15-year-old in and of itself. And this idea of maturity is an interesting concept when you're raising children, right? You have this sense of, well, we're always buying new shoes, we're always buying new clothes, they're constantly growing out of this stuff, and we're always having to buy, now I'm buying hair gel and things like that that I didn't have to buy typically, and deodorant, things like this, where there's growing in their bodies, and we're having to constantly do, we're into braces now, and so there's all these expenses that are part of this. But this idea of maturity, right, it's different. It's not about how tall they might get, it's not about the clothes or the shoes, but it's about their character. And this idea of the body of Christ being built up, reaching unity in the faith and knowledge, and becoming mature so that we each individually and as a church can continue pursuing the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's really what today is all about, is that as we're bringing a new pastor into the fold, well, he's been here a while, so it's a little different in this situation. But when we're officially committing to this and covenanting together, it's really about all of this work to become mature in our character, that we might be humble and gentle and patient and caring and compassionate in pursuing at all costs unity together. So I invite you to take this installation covenant portion that you received as you came in, perhaps. If you did not receive one, then feel free to see someone nearby you. You might be able to grab one. If you don't have it, that's fine. You can read along with, you can listen along with us if not reading. I'm going to invite Michael and Maggie to come at this time and stand with me. And what, again, as a reminder, what you'll hear is the language of a wedding combining the families together. Read along with me if you'd like. For 20 centuries, the church has set aside those of her number who have acknowledged God's call to ministry and whose gifts and graces have been affirmed by the church to serve as clergy. These individuals present themselves for special training and preparation. The church elects them to positions of responsibility, not privilege. In the Church of the Nazarene, an elder is a minister who acknowledges the call of God to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God, and whose gifts and usefulness have been demonstrated and enhanced by proper training and experience. The elder is separated to the service of Christ through his church by the act of ordination, which Pastor Michael is currently continuing to work towards. And we await that celebration together. Individuals so set apart are to preach the word of the kingdom, administer the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, and to solemnize matrimony, all in the name of and in subjection to Jesus Christ. These ministers give up their lives, so to speak, for their lives are not their own. They serve in the capacities that the church invites them to serve. The pastor is to be the spiritual leader of the church, working cooperatively with lay leaders to, quote, equip the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ, end quote. They are to lead the church in inviting lost people into the way of Jesus Christ, discipling them in holiness that they may grow to maturity, and investing their gifts for ministry as God ordains. And so I ask you, Pastor Michael, will you accept the charge to be the pastor, the spiritual leader of this flock? If so, answer, I will.
I will.
And I ask you, congregation, will you, the members of this church, accept, support, and uphold your pastor as he leads you? If so, answer, we will.
We will.
Ah, good, hearty, we will. I like to hear that. This next portion is what we might consider your vows in this covenant together. So let us read responsively. Will you affirm, church, that you believe that this pastor and this church are to be workers together according to God's plan? Will you support this pastor with respect, loyalty, love, and prayer as he keeps faith with this covenant? Will you receive Michael and Maggie as members of your own family of faith and love and pray for them? Will you put God first and give sacrificially to support a fruitful ministry of pastor and people at South Lake Church of the Nazarene? Will you respond to pastoral leadership by giving of your time, talent, and energy to fulfill the mission of God? Will you do all of this to the glory of God and out of thanks for all that God has blessed us with? This time, Pastor Michael's going to come and read his portion of his vows to the church now.
In response to God's call and in gratitude for the confidence you've expressed in me, I promise to use the gifts, graces, and resources God has invested in me wisely and covenant to work with you to make South Lake Church of the Nazarene a faithful and effective church. A church where worship is a priority. A church grounded on the Word of God. A church where lost people matter. A church where believers are nurtured to grow strong in their faith. A community that lives together in holy love. I commit to fulfilling my responsibility as pastor to live as an example of a godly husband and father, to lead you into God's presence through corporate worship, to preach the word with passion and clarity, to cooperate with the district and general church of the Nazarene in fulfilling the Great Commission, to be a leader who casts vision and empowers other leaders, to reach our community with the gospel of the kingdom, to equip believers to utilize their spiritual gifts, to celebrate the signs and symbols of the sacraments, to encourage, comfort, and guide you as your pastor, to enable the ministry of caring, working closely with all of you to celebrate Christ's healing presence.
So, Pastor Michael and Maggie, having committed yourself to this work, I charge you to care for the young and old, strong and weak, rich and poor, and by your words and your life, to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. And to you, congregation, since you have willingly and prayerfully called this pastor as your servant leader, I charge you to willingly and prayerfully support, cooperate, and work together with them in the name of Jesus Christ, whom you both serve. At this time, I'm going to ask Pastor Michael and Maggie to come and just kneel here at this altar or stand here if need be. And I want to invite the church board to come and gather around them. This is an opportunity for us to pray a prayer over them and your church board, representing you all as the mission of God is going forward through them and through all of you. That this would be a partnership that God will honor and guide and direct. Let's pray together. Father, the journey has been an interesting one, to say the least. And yet, as we look back, we see your hand, you guiding and directing for this time and this season for the church moving forward. I give you thanks for these church board members who have done the due diligence of working a process, following your lead, and allowing you to reveal your will. I thank you for Pastor Michael and Maggie submitting their lives to you no matter what, and willing to follow you wherever that might lead. And as you have brought those two processes and journeys together, here we are today to not only celebrate the bringing of a new pastor and family here to this church, but most importantly, to give you praise, to give you glory, for this is a match and a mix and a fit that is only for you, Lord. Your kingdom to be shown and embodied through these people. Your will to be done through us. For your glory, Lord. To you be all the praise and honor. May you continue to guide and direct Pastor Michael and Maggie as they seek your will for this church and their lives. Continue to guide the church board, those who are now and those who may be in the future. That this church continue to seek first and foremost after you, Lord, in your kingdom. Seeking your kingdom, knowing that you will care for all the details that need to be cared for as we focus on you. Have your way for your glory. In Jesus, your name we pray. Amen and amen.